Welcome once again, nerds, to the news. This is the final episode, regular episode, for the season. We will have live episodes during the off season, but this is the end of the current season. So let's get into headlines. We have Tim Lambesis is not going to let a silly thing like his whole band quitting stop him from booking shows. We have a Pokemon versus Pal World lawsuit finally getting some details on what the hell's going on there. We have fairly gigantic comic book and art magazine that is getting revitalized finally. It's honestly been gone for a little too long. We have new casting announcements for Fallout Season 2. Denzel Washington is apparently announcing his own involvement in the MCU, which is kind of strange, but also, of course, he is. And major rumor confirmation in the rumor mill. All of that and then a bunch more. So let's get into this final episode. So, music news. We're going to start things off headlines here. We have Tim Lambesis is got very high hopes for 2025. Unto Others have finally rescheduled their canceled tour. Well, the tour that they got kicked off of. We'll talk about that. They're now headlining. We have Guns N' Roses have hit a very interesting musical milestone in a fairly unexpected way. And then we've got quite a bit more in music this week. So let's get into it. Follow-ups and corrections this week in the music section. So first up, we're not going to spend any more time on it than this, I think, even after the award has been announced. But the Grammys have just announced all of the nominees for this year's ceremony. We don't really cover the awards shows anymore just because nobody cares. Like, it's just a bunch of elite types. I mean, less so with the movies, or with the music rather, but still pretty much just a bunch of elite types patting each other on the back and saying, good job! But it is significant when in the Grammys specifically, when the metal performance, when all of the metal and hard rock stuff actually has artists in the nominees that legitimately deserve to be there and not just because they have a weird high profile for whatever reason. Like, if anyone else had performed at the Winter Olympics, then or was it the summer? I don't remember. Gojira performed at the Olympics, so now they're nominated for a Grammy. Like, that makes sense. But the artists that are nominated this week for metal performance, we have Metallica, Judas Priest, Gojira, Spirit Box, and Knocked Loose. That's a great list of bands to be nominated for Best Metal Performance. Like, I can see why all of them. I mean, Knocked Loose isn't technically metal. They're kind of hardcore, but most normies don't understand the difference, so sure. But yeah, congratulations to everybody nominated. We might, in passing, reference who wins if I see it and care to write it down. Otherwise, congratulations to everyone nominated. It's really just the fact that the genre is getting mainstream recognition is the point here. So the other actual follow-up that we have this week has to do with, once again, As I Lay Dying, because, yeah, apparently people really want to hear about Tim Lambesis. So let's talk about Tim Lambesis. This one's going to be a lot quicker than the last one because we already know all of the issues. They're all basically laid out on the table in very vague ways, but still we kind of have an idea of what the hell's going on. But now we have Tim Lambesis scheduling festival dates in 2025. The band has taken a spot on the Friday bill for next year's Welcome to Rockville Festival. It's the only one that's booked so far, but they're on the list. So yeah, apparently Tim has pretty high hopes for the release of the new record and then the fact that he can get a new band behind him in the interim before this show specifically comes around. So that's what we got for follow-ups. Let's move into new music. Fairly short new music section comparatively, but still got a few really cool ones in here. The first one we're going to talk about is another rap song. Dax has released a new song called Soldier. It is featuring Tom McDonald. If you don't know who Dax is and you listen to rap type things, then you probably should know who Dax is. Dude's incredibly talented and is kind of doing a similar business model as Tom McDonald. He's self-produced from what I understand, and also doing the independent route. He's not signing record deals or anything. He's putting everything out on his own. Just again, like Tom McDonald, the guys have collaborated before, but specifically, let's talk about this song, Soldier. Very appropriately released on Veterans Day. I thought it was a little weird that Tom McDonald's verse kind of veers into trans issues. Like, I understand at this point he's got a shtick that he's kind of got to stick to, but I feel like the topic of veterans and soldiers kind of fits in with his shtick anyway, and he didn't have to veer off into the other thing, but it's still, like, it still works. Like, this is still a really good song. It's just, for a second, you go, wait a minute, this isn't about trans, this is about soldiers. Why are we going here? So it kind of takes you out of it, kind of brings it down just a little bit, but I still would definitely recommend this if you want to just hear some pretty solid rap. Like, this is, again, I don't know if I would really go into the territory of hip-hop with Dax, but as far as I differentiate the two, he's a rapper. So there's that. The next track we have on here is another one from All That Remains. We still have no release date for the record because they're doing this weird thing where they have the record done, but they're gonna trickle out. Like, I understand that the business model is changing in the industry, but this, I think, is a little bit of a weird way to do basically the same end result. And I'm going to go off on a little tangent here before we get into the All That Remains stuff. But so, generally speaking, the way it was before the rise of digital age, when back in like the 90s and early 2000s, and previously even, is you would release one, maybe two singles to build hype for the record. Then you release the record and release another one, maybe two singles before you start the next record cycle. Like, that's generally the lifespan of an album for a band. Pre-YouTube and pre-digital everything. Now, with streaming and YouTube and just everyone being able to access all of your catalog instantly whenever they want, without having to purchase the album, they just listen to it on a streaming service that they're paying for. That has changed the game a little bit. And so someone, again, I'm gonna reference Tom McDonald because I feel like he's kind of doing it the best, and a lot of people are doing something similar. I'm not saying they're modeling the way they conduct their business after Tom McDonald. I just think Tom's tapped into it better than most. And a lot of people are doing very, very similar things. And now that Slipknot is on their own, they're going to start doing something like this as well, from what it sounds like, from what I've been hearing behind the scenes. So the new model is you release probably 4 or 5 singles while you're putting the record together. Once you've released your batch of singles over the course of a series of months, then you collect those and put them on an album with a couple of B-sides effectively, and then that is your album. So the release of the album is now after the singles instead of in the middle of the singles. And it's, I really honestly think this is a better business model, because you build up hype and you build up hype and you keep your name in the conversation. You stay in front of your audience for as long as possible, and then you release the record for them to digest as a whole once they've gotten all of the singles and you can perform the new music live, and, you know, it makes for the musicking experience a little bit more better. I feel like this is a much more appropriate way to release music, especially considering the age of streaming and such. So, back to As I Lay Dying, or I'm sorry, All That Remains. The name of the song is Forever Cold. If you remember the last song we talked about off this record, the one after Divine, I'm totally blanking on the name of the other single, but the last one we talked about, wasn't as good. Like, it was still pretty good. It's still All That Remains. It's still Modern All That Remains, which I think is much better than their first couple records. Even The Fall of Ideals, I think, was the name of the record. I think that this record is on track to be better than even that, based on Divine and then this song, Forever Cold. The other single, I still think, is not quite as solid, but this is almost as good as Divine. Like, this is definitely a track that is going to be one that I'm going to crank every time I hear it on the radio, and is one that I'm going to put on my MP3 player so when I'm going to the gym, I got something to pump to. Like, that is... This is good quality All That Remains, and I'm super stoked for it. Go check it out. The video is linked down in the description. It's actually a lyric video, so it's not a proper performance video, but still, go check out the song. Link exists in the description. Next, we have a fairly notable track. This is the first new Butcher Babies track since their vocalist Carla Harvey left. So they used to have two vocalists, now they have one. This is the first track with just the solo vocalist. And this honestly feels like instrumentally they're maturing. They're getting a little bit better as far as the instrumentalists go. As far as vocals and lyrics, performance of vocals, like I haven't listened extensively to the Butcher Babies, so I know that that one of the vocalists primarily did singing, one of the vocalists primarily did like the harsh scream vocals. They did cross over, but by and large, again, from my understanding, it was kind of one lane and the other. So it seems like the vocalist that was left is the one who did the singing vocals primarily, and fairly solid as far as the performance goes. Lyrically, still feels fairly adolescent, still feels, I don't know, adolescent's kind of the best way to put it. Just not exactly lyrically as competent as they are instrumentally, and even vocally. Like, I think her vocals are pretty strong, just not... the lyrics. Instead, a mild recommend, but still a recommend. I would say this is one to listen to. The name of the song, sorry, is Serenity. I didn't say that because we were talking about who the Butcher Babies are, and I got distracted by myself. So, yeah, the name of the song is Sincerity. Go check it out. Again, mild recommend. And then our final track in new music this week comes from a band from the UK called Malevolence. And for all of the music these guys have put out previously, this new track, Trenches, I feel like, from my exposure, because I only know the most recent record, this is coming off of a new record they're working on. This is more in line with the hardcore style that I kind of grew up with. Not quite old school hardcore, but kind of like New York hardcore sound. The late 90s, early 2000s kind of New York hardcore sound, which is, again, right about when I was a teenager. So yeah, just this track bangs. This is a really good song. Go check it out. Go listen to it. Go pay for it on iTunes. Go do all of the things to support these guys, because this is good hardcore. It's borderline metalcore. The last record, again, the one they were playing a bunch of tracks on, Liquid Metal previously, is very much metalcore. This is kind of dropping the metal a little bit and leaning further into the hardcore side, and yeah, definitely invigorating. Go check out Trenches from Malevolence for sure. That, though, is what we have for new music. Let's talk about tours and festivals. We do have some news in here. First up, Download Festival for 2025 has just released their lineup. The dates I did not write down because I take amazing notes, but we do have a couple of the big names on the bill. The three headliners for the three dates, you can find a link down in the description, it'll take you to the website, you can see, you can get tickets and all that jazz. But the three headliners, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm pretty sure, three headliners are Green Day, Sleep Token, and Korn. That is who is going to headline, and that's fairly significant in that none of them have previously headlined Download Festival. So that is, yeah, again, significant unto itself. But then a couple of other noteworthy acts. We have this newly reformed Sex Pistols. We have Orbit Culture, Kim Dracula, Filter, Spirit Box, the list, like I said, it's 3 days long, so go check out the website, link in the description. Get your tickets if you're going to be in the UK around about the time that it happens. Again, I don't know because I didn't put it in my notes, but either way, Download Festival is a thing. Next up, we have Machine Head has announced that they are going to be going on tour with In Flames, Lacuna Coil, and Unearth. This is a hell of a bill, man. This is a super solid bill. I'm not as into Lacuna Coil as the other bands, but still pretty damn solid. We have starting April 5th in Oakland, California, runs through May 10th in Cologne, I think is how you pronounce that, British Columbia, up in the Canada place. So tickets, I could not find a link for tickets, but I'm sure if you go check out the Machine Head website, link down in the description, they'll have them soon if they're not up already. Next up, we have one that kind of caught me by surprise, and it's Papa Roach and Rise Against. How are these two? Okay. A Rise of the Roach Tour is what they're calling it. This one gets support from Under Oath, which is another one kind of out of left field for these two bands. Like, I would have never put these three bands on a bill together at any point in any of their careers. Like, that just doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe Rise Against with Under Oath. That makes a little bit of sense, but the whole Papa Roach thing kind of throws it. Anyway, so this one is March 20th in Houston, Texas is where they kick it off. Runs through October 5th in West Palm Beach, Florida. This one is a super long tour. They're going a lot of places, like a lot of places. So very likely they're going to be near you soon. I did not, once again, find direct link to tickets. So if you go check out Papa Roach or Rise Against website, which I think I'll probably link Rise Against website down low, you can go check that out. And when tickets are available, you can go purchase them. The next one is kind of an anti-tour piece of news, but it's still touring technically, and it has to do with King Diamond. King Diamond is currently on their North American tour. They had to cancel two of the Canadian tour dates. The reason given was unforeseen circumstances. No more specificity has been given for that, but the two dates that have been canceled are Edmonton, Alberta, and Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, again, both in Canada. The refunds are available if you had tickets for those dates. They will be, they're still on the tour, so they're not canceling the rest of the tour, just those two dates. November 20th and 21st are those dates respectively. So again, if you had tickets for those and you're unable to do anything, refunds are available. Next up is the one that I was super excited to see. Unto Others have finally made up the scheduling issue with their last tour that they, yeah. So if you remember, they got kicked off the Wasp tour. Like, before it started, they were asked to leave because Wasp are crazy. Blackie is just out of his mind. But now they're making up for it. The tour starts November 15th, so starts this week, and it's in Spokane, Washington, runs through December 13th in LA. This is not as extensive a tour as they were going to do. This is not as extensive a tour as they wanted to do. It is a headlining tour for them, but there's not a whole bunch of dates on here. The band has said, though, they will be touring much, much more in 2025 because they did just drop a new record, right? So this is just a few dates to make up for the fact that they got kicked off the Wasp tour, and then a presumably much bigger tour will be announced for 2025. So super stoked for that. Tickets can be found in the link down below. And then we have Cattle Decapitation has announced a European tour. This one is fairly significant for the support. We have Shadow of Intent, Revocation, and Volvodina, I think maybe is how that's pronounced. I don't know. January 23rd in Nuremberg, Germany, runs through February 23rd in Tilburg, Netherlands. Yeah, this is Europe, so I don't have there. I believe are tickets available through StubHub, linked down in the description. You don't hold me to that because I think there's a possibility that that's just an American website. So go check it out either way. Cattle Decapitation is a pretty intense live show. Like, I was definitely taken by surprise when I saw them. When I went, there was the Black Braid show. It was epic. It was really fun. Go check it out. That is what we have for tours and festivals. So now let's dive into some regular ass news. This week we have two fairly big pieces for news. First up is Guns N' Roses have hit a very rare milestone in music. They have the honor of being the eighth band to have an album be in the Billboard Top 200 for 700 weeks in a row. That means this record has been selling significantly for the past 700 weeks. Again, they are the eighth band to do the eighth musical act to do this. Also noteworthy this week for the same reason, Bruno Mars is the next one. He's number nine. So weird, but true. But the really weird thing about this is it's not Appetite for Destruction that has been going for 700 weeks. It's actually the Guns N' Roses greatest hits album. That is what got them the notoriety of being the eighth band in history to be on the Billboard Top 200 for 700 weeks in a row. So yeah, that's pretty intense. But our next piece is a little bit of a downer, kinda, sorta, and it has to do with Hai Lung. Again, if you don't know who Hai Lung is, I really suggest it for most people. It's very atmospheric. It's not metal. It is kind of metal adjacent. There's a lot of Tuvian style throat singing that happens for it, but it's very much like European tribal is the best way to put it. They're like the pre-Norse kind of tribe. And it's really, really intense in a lot of really cool ways. But it's, like I said, it's very atmospheric even. Some of the less intense tracks are very just kind of warm and fuzzy and really cool. But not describe, and that's not the point of the piece. The point of the piece is Hai Lung are taking a hiatus. They are currently on tour. They will remain on tour until approximately August 17th of 2025. The August 17th date, somehow they're selling tickets for, but there has not been a venue announced for it. Like there's no, you don't know where this show is going to happen. This show is going to happen. After that August 17th date, they will be taking a hiatus. It will not be permanent. They are not breaking up. They're not going their separate ways. They're just taking some time. Like I feel like the significance of them announcing the hiatus means it's probably going to be a few years, but also like they're kind of at the peak of their popularity and they just keep going up. Just more and more people are really getting into them. So I can't foresee it being a super long hiatus, like to the point where I think it might be a little bit weird that they're announcing a hiatus because they're basically between records. Like you can take a few years between records and I don't know. It's very interesting. And that's why we're sharing it in the news. But that is what we have this week. Also noteworthy this week, we're not doing suggestions just because there's way too much stuff going on. Suggestions take a lot of my brain energy and just couldn't put them together this week. So no suggestions. That is what we've got for music this week, nerds.
Oh, hey, nerds. So just here to remind you this week that subscribing is great. You should do that. It really doesn't cost you much, and it helps us make the show happen. It also keeps me fed, so that's a good thing too, right? You don't want a dragon to get hungry. So hit the subscribe button. Tell all your friends. We've gotten a lot of comments recently talking about how, like, people think we do a good job here. So let your friends know if that's the case. And it really, really helps us out even more that way. So, yeah, there you go. Either way, thank you for subscribing. Thank you for feeding me. Let's get back to nerdy things. Okay, bye.
In gaming and tech, we have Pokemon versus Palworld. The lawsuit is moving forward, so we have some details. There is going to be a new Steam Deck after all. Kind of. We'll talk about that. And then also, one of the ones I'm most excited about this week is Hideo Kojima has just surprised Xbox users. We're going to talk about that one and then a fair bit more. There's actually quite a lot in gaming and tech this week. Follow-ups. And corrections, here in the gaming and tech section, we have a new Steam Deck coming from Valve. If you'll remember, a week or two ago, we talked about the fact that Valve is kind of being great in that they're not going to iterate on their hardware once a year for the sake of iteration. They're going to wait until there is a big advancement so that they can have a leap forward from generation to generation of their hardware. Well, now they're releasing a new Steam Deck. It's not what you're thinking, though. It's not the way that that's being built up. It's a little clickbaity, but what they're doing, it's a better screen. It's the same guts as the previous Steam Deck. It's a white casing this time, and that's basically it. that is kind of all that there is to this piece. So don't believe the hype. If you see anyone saying, oh my God, Valve's releasing a new Steam Deck, you know they're trying to sell you something, or it's just clickbait like I just did. So there you go. Next up, we have Nintendo Switch 2. We got an update there. Nintendo has acknowledged that it will be backwards compatible. There is still a big question here, though, because they have not specified, and this is one that normally I'd be like, really, do we need that kind of specification? In this instance, yes, I think we do, because of the nature of the gaming industry going all digital. Is the backward compatibility situation going to be only for digital releases, or is it going to be for physical as well? Will the new console have a similarly sized card reader, effectively is what it is, so that we can play our Switch 1 games on the Switch 2? That's the big question that still remains to be answered. Though it is pretty significant that we do know, at the very least, all of your digital purchases are going to translate into your Switch 2. And that's largely because of the new Nintendo accounts situation. Because with this generation, with the current Switch generation, they started their Nintendo accounts, meaning you have everything you have purchased is not tied to your console anymore. It is now tied to you as an account with their service. You don't have to pay for your Nintendo account. You just have to pay for the access to Nintendo Online. That's a different situation. But if you are waiting to get a Switch because the Switch 2 is about to launch, sure, that makes sense. But you can start buying games now. I totally am behind that. And honestly, if I had to put any conjecture into this, I would say very likely that it's just going to be the same card reader slot, just we're going to get higher capacity game cartridges. So, and I mean, I feel like the big worry here is unfounded. We have seen them do something like this previously with the Game Boy Advance. Game Boy Advance had two separate cartridge readers. So there was one on, what was it, front and back? I think it's my SP. I don't remember how the OG Advance was, but on the SP, you had one card reader in front and back, one for the Advance games and one for all of the previous iteration of Game Boy games. So yeah, that totally makes sense. We know that Nintendo's done something like this before, so if I had to guess, I would say yes, we're going to get a something, either two different card slots, or it's going to be the same card slot, just more capabilities built in. I'm rambling, let's move on. Next up on the list is Halo 2. Halo 2 is 20 years old for the 20th anniversary. We have a mod group calling themselves DigSite, who are fairly prevalent in the modding community in Halo. They teamed up with Halo Studios to do this, so it's not just them modding it. What it is, they've released the E3 2003 playable demo as hardware for the PC, or as software rather, for the PC. It is inside of the Master Chief Collection, the Workshops, I believe is what it's called on the PC version. I only have the Xbox version of the MCC, so I don't have access to this, sadly. Like, this is almost enough to make me consider getting the PC version of it too, because there's a lot of stuff in the MCC PC version that isn't in the Xbox version that I really want, like specifically ability to access mods. And a lot of people have done a lot of really cool stuff in the modding community. So if you're big into FPSs specifically, you've kind of fallen off of late with Halo, and you were big on it though around about 2, 3, before 4 launched, before 343 took over. then the Master Chief Collection is really what you want, regardless of where you're playing it. But Master Chief Collection on PC seems to be far more catered to people in that realm of the FPS genre. So yeah, pretty significant. E3 2003 demo. Again, they got help from Halo Studios for this. So Halo Studios is understanding what the community wants at least a little bit better these days. Let's move from there though. We have an update on the Palworld lawsuit. Pokemon and Palworld are head-to-head, but it's not because of game design, necessarily. It's not because of the idea of the collectible monsters or anything like that. What it is, we now know, because the Pocket Pals or whatever the company name, Pocket Pair, there it is. Pocket Pair being sued by Pokemon Company, Pocket Pair has come out and given us at least some sort of detail as to what they're being sued for. The patents are related specifically to the mechanics of catching and riding the creatures. There are three different patents involved in this. What I'm pretty sure we noted last time we talked about this, but there's been a little bit more details come out on this as well. The interesting thing about this is that the patents were officially filed after the Palworld game came out. However, there is a caveat to that. The process of filing was started for these patents back in 2021, long before Palworld came out. So it was actually before Pokemon Arceus was released. So yeah, and then it gets even slightly weirder beyond that. So the weirdest part about this, I think, is the amount of money they're seeking in damages, because Pokemon Company and Nintendo specifically are not really known for being very kind with their lawsuits. I mean, it's a lawsuit, so by nature, it's not a very kind thing, but I mean, depending on how you look at it, whatever. But usually they would go for punitive damages. They would go for a bunch of money to prove a point. This time though, they're going for 5 million yen, which that might sound a lot to somebody from the States who $5 million is a lot of money. However, yen converted into US dollars, it's a little bit over $65,000 total between all three patent violations. They're looking for approximately 65,000 US total, a little bit more than 65. It's like 65,700 or something like that. So yeah, very, very strange, this situation. Like really, that's like pocket change for someone like Nintendo. So I don't understand the significance there, but that is what we've got there. Let's move into our final piece of follow-ups. And it has to do with Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster. If you are riding the fence as to whether or not you want to play the remake for Dead Rising, then you can go get a demo for it. There's a link down in the description. It is up currently for the big three being Steam, PlayStation 5, and Xbox. If you have one of those platforms, then you can go get the demo for Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster. And then we actually have a couple of trailers to get out of the way this week. Like I said, gaming is a little bit significant comparatively. So trailers this week. First one is for a game that was a Kickstarter and is now finally launching for the rest of us. It's called Knock Off. It is a fighting game that was independently being developed. The video, you can find the video for, or the trailer for it down in the description, and you can find a link to pre-order also down there. It looks like it could be pretty damn fun. I mean, obviously I haven't played it, so I don't know how the mechanics work exactly, and I don't know like what the balance feels like, but the look of this is hyper realistic toys. Like the characters are action figures, knockoffs of action figures from when I was a kid. Like there's obviously a He-Man knockoff, there's a Ninja Turtles knockoff, there's a Transformers knockoff, this is really cool. It's a fairly limited cast. This feels, as far as like cast size, this feels like the original Mortal Kombat game that came out in 1993. 93? Yeah, 93. It feels like that in size. It's approximately 7 characters, it looks like, maybe even less. Because I'm not looking at it right now and I didn't write it down in the notes because I take a mega's notes. But still, looks like a hell of a lot of fun. Go check it out. Go look, go watch this trailer. It's really a lot of fun with the voiceover and everything. So yeah. And then the other trailer that we have, honestly, I don't have in my grasp right now. I haven't watched it yet because it doesn't exist. But I know that literally as I'm filming this right now, and well, maybe as I finish filming this, but while I'm editing this, it will be released. And that is the Mortal Kombat 1 trailer for Ghostface. There's also a combat cast that is supposed to be happening today, probably again while I'm editing this episode. So maybe there will be more to interject here, but otherwise we have a Ghostface trailer. We know Ghostface gameplay. Ghostface is releasing next week on the Mortal Kombat 1 game, so super stoked for that. That, though, is what we have for trailers. Let's talk about our regular-ass news, shall we? First up, we have NVIDIA's GeForce Now. This is a really stupid news piece. So, the GeForce Now cloud gaming service from NVIDIA. You have to pay for access to it, and they're changing the pay structure, and they're changing, most notable here is what there is the play cap. They're instigating a 100 hour a week play cap for users, for top tier users even. So, which comes out to about 3.5 hours per day of play, which according to their statistics is only going to affect approximately 4% of their players. But still, and then like, screw those guys, right? Like, what? I don't understand this. NVIDIA is one of the most profitable companies in the world, right? Like, legitimately one of the largest companies in the world. They could keep going back and forth with Apple as to who's the biggest company in the world. So why the cap? Like, I don't understand. They say it's for bandwidth reasons and a couple other things that they're talking about, but it feels like smoke and mirrors. It feels like just a reason to keep their customers under their thumb, but I don't understand exactly why they want that. Yeah, so 100% or 100 hours, 4% of their players. There is a minor caveat here, and that is if you are currently a subscriber to GeForce Now Cloud Gaming, then this will not take effect for you until January of 2026, right? Was it January? Yeah, January of 2026. So if your account exists before December 31st, then you will not have to, then you will not be capped on your play hours until January of 2026. So you have a whole year approximately to still play as much as you want without any cap. And also, I would challenge you to see exactly how many hours a day are you playing, and is it consistent throughout the week? Are you playing that many hours every day? Like, it's an interesting situation there. The next one we got is Sega. We have a piece from Sega that is just another big L for gaming, not restoration, what's the word I'm looking for? Gaming preservation, there we go. Gaming preservation. So Sega has announced that they're going to be pulling buttload of titles off of digital storefronts. A lot of these in their back, from their very far back catalog, like Streets of Rage and Sonic and so on and so forth. Just see if I have a more comprehensive, like, big names here. We have Crazy Taxi, Nights into Dreams, Jet Set Radio, and those are like the biggest. And then there's Streets of Rage, I mean, honestly, is probably even bigger than that. It's getting pulled. There's a list of 70 plus games that they're pulling off of digital storefronts. And presumably at this point, maybe some of them are going to get re-released into like collections and arcade collections and remasters and so on and so forth. But they're not going to remaster and redistribute 70 games. So some of these games are just dead in the water at this point. So again, just another big L for gaming preservation. And this comes a week after the U.S. Copyright Office has denied access to historical games for researchers, like the academics of studying the significance of gaming. These people don't have access, according to the U.S. Copyright Office, to the original games through emulation because money, basically, is what it boils down to. Because they're trying to say that people are just going to play free games and blah, 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 when they're Are things like this in place for other mediums like movies and television shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, books, comic books? All of that exists for academics if you're doing research on a topic that involves them. The only exception to that is gaming. We do not have this access for gaming at this point, which I think is absolutely asinine. But that's just me, let's move on. Next up, we have Death Stranding is our big piece here. I love this. So Hideo Kojima and Kojima Productions have finally got all of the rights back in-house to the Death Stranding franchise, 5 years after its initial release. And so because they did that, because they now have all of the rights to themselves, they have released Death Stranding for approximately $20. It's on sale, so it's originally like $35-$40, but it's on sale right now for $20 on Xbox, on the Xbox Game Store. You can buy it for about $20, and it's the director's cut version too, so all of the extra content and all of the extra awesome Hideo Kojima-ness of it is available to Xbox players now, again, 5 years after the fact. This is freaking cool, and they totally did it like in the dark of night. Like they just were like, oh yeah, by the way, this is up. We did this yesterday. I don't know what to tell you. So pretty cool. Next up, let's talk about the death of streaming. Well, not really. This actually is the death of a streaming platform, but only by name. And kind of, I don't know, we're gonna get into the weeds here. So Freevee is the name of the platform that's going the way of the buffalo here. They're sunsetting it, if you will. They being Amazon Prime. And what I mean by it's not really the death of streaming, because all of the current content on Freevee, originals and everything else, is going to be migrated over to Amazon Prime. It will still be shown with commercials because it's part of their whole move to commercials to become profitable situation. But still, all of that content is still available technically for free, assuming you already have a Prime membership. At the very least, the minimum Prime membership is like $15 a month, which also gets you free shipping on Amazon. And you know you buy a bunch of Amazon stuff, so why don't you have an Amazon Prime account? That's just weird. But yeah, so if you don't have Amazon Prime, that is the situation where you're not going to have access to this material for free anymore, presumably. It seems like there's a possibility they might open up something, a limited selection or something like that for free if they're getting rid of Freevee, but that's totally my conjecture and speculation. They don't have to do that. They own all this stuff. They can do with it as they please, and it's silly, but that's the way it is. So yeah, Freevee is no more. The official date I don't have in here, but it's over the course of the next, I think, month. By the end of the year, Freevee will be gone. They're slowly going to be sunsetting all of the content there. Next up is an AI piece that we need to talk about. So Grok over on X, or also considered XAI, but the name of it is Grok. They launched the new model of Grok, Grok 2. And as it's been since the release of the original Grok AI model, you have to have X Premium in order to access Grok at all. It looks like going forward, don't have any dates as to when this is going to be happening, but going forward, they are looking into allowing limited access to all X users for free. And then if you have premium, then you get the different levels of premium, then you get different levels of access to Grok. The limited access for free users is you can ask Grok to proper 10 questions every 2 hours. So it's not per day, it's every 2 hours for the text-based stuff. So every 2 hours you can ask 10 questions of Grok 2 proper, the big model. They have a small model that they're launching as well, Grok 2 Mini, and if you are going more over your 10 questions for every 2 hours limit, then you can switch over to Grok 2 Mini, and it is 20 questions every 2 hours that you will be allotted on X with their AI. Also here, the image stuff is you get 3 image-based analyses or whatever you do with images on Grok, because I've never used Grok, but 3 of those per day. So the image-based stuff is going to be daily, whereas the text-based stuff is hourly, bi-hourly even. So interesting, no date, like I said, no date as to when this is going to happen, but this is beyond rumor at this point. This is just a matter of implementation. So this is the final piece of regular ass news. There will not be a suggestion this week. We're just not doing suggestions. But Warner Brothers Games, there's a lot going on here, and it's all based from One Piece. So Warner Brothers Games is kind of sort of in trouble. There was a big investors call, earnings call. There was a big earnings call here last week that David Zaslav was talking to investors and people in the media, and he said that they are going to be focusing going forward on franchises, on proven franchises. These are almost quotes. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but this is pretty close to what he said. They're going to be focusing on proven franchises. And then he names specifically Batman, Mortal Kombat, Harry Potter, and I think there were two or three other ones. But those are kind of the biggest ones as far as the nerd communities are concerned. So everyone has been taking this and writing a million different articles. Like, I literally saw an article for each of the names specifically that he called out on a couple of different platforms. So there was an article saying that there's going to be more Mortal Kombat games, and there's going to be more Batman games. There's going to be, like, literally somebody wrote a full freaking article for one text media source for all of these games based off of this one phone call, this one statement even in this greater phone call. So, like, this, the basics of this are, David Zaslav has said that the gaming situation is in trouble. They are losing money in their gaming division, so they need to focus on proven franchises. He names examples, but that is not an explicit endorsement or an explicit announcement, rather, of anything new specifically coming out for them. We already know that there's going to be Hogwarts Legacy 2, that it is actively in production. But now everybody is thinking that there's actively going to be a new Mortal Kombat game coming out soon. That's not true. Everyone's also thinking that there's going to be another new Batman game coming out soon. That one might be true. There are a couple of rumors behind the scenes that have been going for a few weeks at this point that have nothing to do with this phone call. So possibly there's another Batman game or something similar to that in the works. That might be happening. But to say that they're pushing new game, like, no, they're going to, Mortal Kombat specifically is where my brain's at with this, is they're going to focus, like they've said they're going to, on the current game. They're going to do everything they can to maximize its profitability. There's very likely going to be another DLC story mode for it. Like, that is still technically releasing Mortal Kombat content that is still making Warner Brothers money. So, and all of the skins that they're releasing, that is also making Warner Brothers money. So that is what they're talking about. They're not talking about specifically, we need a new game, we need a new game, we need to do things with what we have. And if it makes sense that it's time for a new game, then we're going to release, well, and even that's probably being a little bit generous, because really it's going to be, all right, so game sales for your title have started to dip. We should start development on the next one. With the way that Mortal Kombat is functioning right now, I don't think that's going to be anytime super soon, because again, the story mode DLCs kind of count as a new game. So it's going to be probably a couple of years before we see anything. And even then, I think Injustice falls under the umbrella of Mortal Kombat because it's very profitable. It also comes from NetherRealm Studios. So the fact that everybody's going, oh, we're just not going to get Injustice 3 now because he said Mortal Kombat. No, he was using examples. NetherRealm Studios makes Warner Brothers a lot of money. So the probability of us getting Injustice 3 next seems still pretty high. Will we get more content from Mortal Kombat 1? Abso-freaking-lutely. Do they have plenty of people at NetherRealm Studios that they could be doing both simultaneously? Yes. The likelihood of that, I don't know, kind of depends on what you know of their business model, which I know not super a whole lot, but still, the possibility exists. I don't think that we need to take this as by the book, these are the exact words and there's no other interpretation. I think this is more of a Zaslav kind of using examples and trying to talk in kind of generalities, but also like he's recognizing the issues with their gaming division, specifically the Suicide Squad kills the Justice League. What was the Multiverses has lost them $100 million. Like this is, there's been a lot of the Gotham Knights game lost them a boatload of cash as well. Like there have been a lot of L's in the WB gaming sphere, and they need to stop hemorrhaging money is what it boils down to. So that's, I think, the best takeaway from that situation. Is it likely that some of these things that people are guessing at are actually going to be happening? Maybe. But really, the big important thing is they're going to be focusing on the ones that we know are doing well. All right. That's what we got. That's what we got for gaming and tech this week, nerds. Comic books and books this week is fairly short, but we do have some headlines. We have defunct comics and art magazine is getting a second life, and I'm super stoked about it. We have the new kid pool is joining the comic book Marvel Universe proper, and an interesting series of books being released around famous boxers. We're going to talk about that and probably why they're doing that, and then just a little bit more, I think. So we just have regular ass news for comics and books this week. We're not doing suggestions. It's the end of the season. I will very likely do a Nerdy Suggests episode, full on episode, probably will be what makes up the difference next week, because this is the end of the season. So it's going to be a couple of weeks where we're not doing proper episodes really at all. So there will be like probably a couple of reaction videos and other things that I'll be doing to fill the gaps that I don't have to put as much work into as I do for the news show. But as it stands this week, no suggestions. Anyway, let's talk about the news. So comic book news. We actually have got a very interesting mix this week for comic books. We're going to start things off with Kidpool and Spider-Boy. So, this is a really funny situation to me because Kidpool has existed for some time. Kidpool, previous to the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, was a boy, and I don't know that a whole lot was really known about him because he's part of the Deadpool Corps, and it was more the Deadpool Corps as a whole is what was the character, whereas the individual Deadpools inside of it didn't really get as much of a backstory. Now we have Deadpool's kid, or Ryan Reynolds' kid, as Kidpool in the movie, so we now have a female Kidpool. And that version of Kidpool is what is getting... So I saw a bunch of headlines for this one saying, Kidpool is finally coming to the Marvel Comics universe. Like, that's not accurate. There's always been a... Well, not always. But there has, for a long time, been a Kidpool in the Marvel Comics universe. It's just a different version of Kidpool. The movie version of Kidpool, specifically, is who is finally coming to Marvel Comics. So... we do know a little bit about this. The book is being written by Christopher Yost. We're getting art from Nathan Stockman, Chris Campagna, and Jed Doherty. Excuse me. And they're specifically bringing Ryan Reynolds' daughter version of Kidpool. So going from the just the kid in the Deadpool Corps to what we know specifically as Wanda Wilson, who is the Kidpool that joined the Deadpool Corps in The Void. The male Kidpool was a student at Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters, and he was a troublemaker. And like, there's a little bit of backstory there, but honestly, again, not much, because I couldn't find his actual name. It might be Wade. It might just be a child version of Wade. I don't know. I honestly didn't read the book where they gave his backstory. So. But yeah, so December 25th is when this book is going to be on sale. It is going to be Kidpool and Spider-Boy. So Kidpool, it's the rise of the sidekicks. The Spider-Boy comic has kind of taken off, and we're getting Hulkette as part of this series as well. But the name specifically of this arc is going to be Kidpool and Spider-Boy. I'm sorry, Spider-Boy and Kidpool. I got that backwards. And again, issue number one out December 25th. Sounds pretty freaking cool, not gonna lie. I'm very interested because, like, you have the history between Deadpool and Spider-Man. So, like, bring that down to middle schoolers and just like how much goofier is that gonna be? Whatever. Next up, we have heavy metal. This is the big piece for this section, and I'm super stoked about it. So, the Heavy Metal magazine, if you'll remember, heavy metal has been around for ages, since like the 70s, I'm pretty sure is when it started. But it took a hiatus. I did not write down when, after hiatus, it left many fans and creators feeling disappointed. I don't know when it went out of print, but it's been out of print for some time at this point. If I can find the specifics, which I don't know why I didn't do that in these notes, but if I can find the specifics, I'll probably put them in the notes down low or on the screen or something. But so it's been on hiatus. It hasn't been in print for some time at this point. They are rebooting it. So Heavy Metal Magazine is relaunching with a fresh start under new ownership and management. Issue number one is set to feature nearly 200 pages of just the exact kind of content you would expect out of heavy metal. Kicking off a Kickstarter campaign that will offer exclusive rewards like limited edition covers, art prints, and merch, etc. The new team, this is fairly noteworthy, the new team aims to restore the legendary status after the hiatus kind of left a bunch of fans and artists disappointed. They have been set out to make amends with all of their debts. They have settled all of the debts that previously existed for the magazine. They have paid artists, settled debts with past creators, and are addressing missed subscriptions and orders. So if you have back orders that you did not get because they basically went out of business, like I'm pretty sure we talked about this on the channel when it happened. Again, I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe even a little bit more. But if you had a subscription and your subscription was not up, you still had more time on your subscription, they're going to address that. They're trying to address anything that was missed. So like if you knew books had come out, but they didn't mail it to you because they're starting to fall apart internally for whatever reason, then they're going to try and fix that as well. This is a pretty big undertaking for these guys. The website and store are being revamped. Subscribers will soon receive updates about their accounts, and fans are invited to reach out for support. Team expresses gratitude for your patience and excitement for the upcoming first issue. This is huge. This is going to be very, very significant. I'm super stoked for this. And then our final piece here in comic books and books is a series of boxing comics that are coming out. So the publisher is Tidal Wave Comics, launching a new comic series focused on legendary boxers. Three of them specifically. We have Mike Tyson, we have Manny Pacquiao, and what's the other one? Why is my brain farting? Muhammad Ali. Woohoo! Thank God for notes. Tyson, Pacquiao, and Ali are getting books unto themselves. It looks like Tyson's is going to be a couple issues. Ali's looks like it might just be a single issue. Then Pacquiao's is going to be a series of issues. So the first one is Mike Tyson's Fame. They're releasing this ahead of the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, which, by the way, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, if Jake Paul does not come out to Will Smith's I Think I Can Beat Mike Tyson, or the Fresh Prince's I Think I Can Beat Mike Tyson, I think that is a total missed opportunity. Anyway, so Mike Tyson's Fame goes into a bunch of detail of his life. It's like, it's biographical, not autobiographical, it's just biographical. It is going to go into a lot of details. They even go into his Joe Rogan appearances from some of the preview art that they've released from this book. It's pretty freaking cool. It delves into Tyson's life from being hypnotized to suppress empathy in the ring to his love for pet tigers and his iconic face tattoo. The other one is going to be Tribute is the Muhammad Ali book. This one drops January 17th, Muhammad Ali's birthday. And then Fame is the other one. I'm sorry, Fame is also the Mike Tyson book, but Fame, Manny Pacquiao, which launches on December 11th. The publisher is Darren G. Davis. This is not the first time Tidal Wave has done sport books. I think that's kind of what their stock and trade is sport comics. Highlighting recent biographies for icons like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, etc., etc. Fans can access these comics both in stores and digitally on platforms like Kindle, Comixology, so Tidal Wave is on Comixology, and iTunes. So yeah, that's what we got for comic books and books this week, nerds. Like I said, no suggestions. My apologies. Let's move on. If comic books was small, then the TV section is tiny. We really have pretty fairly significant casting for Fallout 2 and a couple of trailers to talk about, and that's it. So let's go. Oh, follow-ups and corrections, TV streaming. This is kind of the biggest piece we've got this week. Actually, yeah, kind of. So we have season 2 of Fallout has announced that they have cast Macaulay Culkin in an undisclosed role. Still, Macaulay Culkin, that is a huge name for Fallout 2. Not that, you know, the rest of the big names from the first season were not also big names, but Macaulay Culkin, I think, has an interesting status as far as it goes with pop culture stuff. Still, again, still no idea who he's going to be playing because they're making a lot of stuff up as they go along, but if you go back to the season of American Horror Story that he did, like, I feel like as an elder millennial like he is, like, I think that this is definitely going to be a good opportunity again for him to showcase that he is actually a good damn actor. Like, his little brother kind of shows him up, Kiernan, especially if you watched, oh my God, if you watched Succession, Kieran Culkin on that is the reason to watch that show for a lot of the episodes. But I think Macaulay Culkin also, like, can hold his own in that same kind of echelon of ability. Like, this is going to be really interesting. So let's go into trailers now for TV streaming. Like I said, it's going to be real quick. TV streaming trailers, we have Mayfair Witches. Technically, we should have talked about this last week, but I breezed through my notes a little too quickly and skipped right over it. So season 2 of Mayfair Witches dropped a trailer last week. It will be airing on AMC and AMC Plus starting January 5th of 2025. I mean, you should be watching this just because it's pretty well done. It's not quite as good as the Interview with the Vampire series because that is honestly great, but the Mayfair Witches series, the first season was pretty good. Hopefully they can kind of expand it and we'll get a little bit more comfortable with these characters, and the actors in these roles will be, you know, have a little bit better understanding of where they're going and what they're doing kind of stuff. But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch, and I'm pretty excited about season 2. And then we our other big trailer this week there, I think, well, hold on, let's talk about this one first. Marvel's What If season 3 dropped its trailer. December 22nd is when we're going to be getting season 3, the first episode of season 3 at least. There's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of talk about potential tie-ins. We do know that there's going to be Storm in one of these episodes, so we're going to get some X-Men stuff going on. Is that going to be foreshadowing into the MCU proper? Probably not. They've said explicitly that that's not the way this works. But there's been a lot of speculation as to how this will tie in. Like, we do get to see the Beyonders, I'm pretty sure, is who that is at the end of the trailer. It's pretty cool. Go check it out. I think it should be noted, too, now that we've talked about the trailer, I think it should be noted, too, that a lot of stuff has come out, specifically from Disney. Disney and Hulu, which is technically still Disney, but Disney Plus, the streaming platform. There were a couple of trailers released that weren't really trailers. It was kind of teasers. It was a great big long teaser that was a number of different things kind of mashed together. So there's a lot of people talking about that there's a trailer for, though, I almost put it in here because I saw so many headlines for it, and now I'm totally blanking on what the series was. Oh, Andor season 2. There is not a trailer for Andor season 2. As of filming this today, what is today? The 13th of November? As of filming this today, there is not a proper Andor season 2. Yeah, the 13th. There's not a proper Andor season 2 trailer. There is a very short clip inside of a greater teaser for things on Disney Plus, but there is not an Andor trailer specifically just yet. There very likely will be soon because D23, I think, is happening now or is about to happen or something like that. But yeah, there is no proper trailer yet. So also, I think that's the only one I'm going to be able to recall because just ADD is a fun thing to have. So yeah, but if you're going to see a lot of things saying, oh, there was a trailer for this. No, they're teasers and they're very quick snips of something from a bigger something else. And yeah, don't waste your time. Anyway, we will talk about trailers as they release, but that will be in the live show, and that will happen in a couple of weeks. That is what we have for TV streaming this week, nerds. Again, no suggestions as it is the last episode of the season. Movie news this week is rivaling gaming and tech for the biggest section we've got. We have Denzel Washington breaking the news on his own MCU involvement, which I think is a first. Another horror movie based on a kid's property, kind of. It has just dropped a trailer. We've been anticipating this for a little bit. And also, one that I think everybody's talking about, but still, let's throw our two cents in. The Wicked movie, the promotion for it, just got a little spicy. Let's talk about that and quite a bit more in movies. So, follow-ups and corrections here in movies. We have Captain America, Brave New World in the follow-ups and also in trailers. We're talking about follow-up first. Giancarlo Esposito has revealed that they are going back for a second round of reshoots for the movie. Not entirely unheard of, especially considering the current state of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, it just kind of makes sense that because things have been shifting kind of ever so often, they're just really just in flux in general. Makes sense that things have changed, so they have to go back and reshoot a couple of things in order to make them make sense in this movie. So yeah, no real craziness there. The big craziness here is Black Panther 3. So we've gone from speculation that it might exist to speculation that Denzel Washington has been cast specifically for this movie. And now we get straight from the horse's mouth, Denzel himself is telling us that he will be in Black Panther 3. He did not tell us who he's going to be playing. So anyone who's saying anything about the character he's going to be, that is speculation. He's not telling us who he's going to be playing, but he did say that Ryan Coogler is specifically writing the character for him. So he has been cast in the MCU. It is going to be for Black Panther 3. And Ryan Coogler's involved at least in the script writing phase, probably in the directing phase as well. That's what we got for that though. Let's move into trailers for movies. We have Captain America Brave New World, like I said, new Brave New World trailer. This time we actually get to see some real life Red Hulk action with Harrison Ford's face on that Red Hulk. It's pretty dope, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it still looks a little too CGI, but it's still pretty cool to see Harrison Ford do that. February 14th is release date on this one, and yeah, this is gonna be one I think most people are going to see for a multitude of reasons, not the least of which being Harrison Ford as Red Hulk. Yes, please. Next up, we have Mission Impossible Final Reckoning. This is going to be the final Mission Impossible movie. Finally has a subtitle. I'm going to stop saying the word final, I promise. But the release date on this one is May 23rd. It is going to conclude Ethan Hunt's Mission Impossible story. Will there be more Mission Impossible movies in the future? Probably. Will it be Ethan Hunt? I think that's possible. It's just not going to be Tom Cruise. So, but the trailer, I mean, I had a ball with the last one. Like, I really, really dug that last movie. It was not the most deep cinema that you're ever going to sit through, but it was an incredibly good action movie. So this is just going to be all that more cathartic because it's going to, it should at least, maintain that level of quality and then also kind of bring everything to a conclusion so you get some catharsis at the end. So super excited about that one. Next one is one that I at first I was like, do we really need this? But I think we do. We have a new Ben Stiller comedy called Nutcrackers. It's coming out this November on Hulu. So it's going straight to streaming. But this is a return to form, it feels like, to the Meet the Fockers kind of energy. So Ben Stiller is the uncle to these four kids. Their parents have passed away and he kind of has to take care of them until other things can be put in place to take care of them. I believe adoption is what he's holding on to them for. So he's effectively fostering his nieces and nephews, or nibblings, if you will, until they can find houses for them. And that's the hijinks ensue because these kids are a handful and blah, blah, blah. But if I'm remembering the trailer correctly, and I didn't write it down in the notes because it's a trailer, so why do I need extra notes on it? But I'm pretty sure it's rated R. So we got some definite Meet the Fockers energy going on here. It's going to be a lot of fun. The fact that it is called Nutcrackers also implies it's going to be a Christmas movie, which is weird because Ben Stiller is Jewish, so that's a thing. But yeah, I'm excited for it. Let's move on. Our last trailer for movies this week is Little Mermaid, and it's not what you're thinking by the title. This is the Little Mermaid horror movie that we have mentioned in passing a number of times. It's finally got a trailer. It is Lionsgate who's going to be distributing it. This is the horror version of the Hans Christian Andersen story. This is not the Disney story. So it's going to be some very dramatic differences. I don't even know how close it's going to stick to Hans Christian Andersen's version, but it is not going to be the Disney version. We know that for sure. It kind of sort of resembles the Disney version because she's a redhead. But aside from that, there's a lot here that is not Disney and looks like it's going to be interesting. This one looks like it's going to be even cheesier though than the Winnie the Pooh horror movies. So yeah, I don't know. This might be one to stream. I don't know if it's going to get theatrical release, if it's worth seeing in theaters or not, but that I think might be up to you. Let's move into regular ass news. Now we do have a couple of things here. First up, we have, sadly, we're starting off on a down note, but Tony Todd, who was Candyman, he was the voice of Venom, he's done a number of, he was Lieutenant Commander Worf's brother in Star Trek. Tony Todd, the amazing actor, amazing dude, has passed at the age of 69. Cause of death has not been given just yet. This is another titan of the genre field, right? This is a guy who has the distinctive look and sound, like his voice. You know his voice as soon as you hear it. It's just, we're losing a lot of good ones and kind of young these days too. 69 is not that old. Like, legit, my dad is older than that. So, oh man. Yeah, we're gonna take a minute. We're gonna remember Tony Todd.
Be my victim. I wanted it rooted in some sort of cause. So together we came up with the whole lynching, you know, him being vilified for being in love with a woman of the wrong complexion. He was black, she was white. This is circa 1900, or it could apply today, who knows.
And then also, Final Destination in particular allows me to pick and choose a couple of independents where it's more character driven, you know, so it's a nice balance.
We are.
Okay, bringing things up. So this one is going to be quite silly, and honestly has been covered by just about everybody at this point, so me throwing my two cents in is just for comedic value, but we have Wicked, the movie, is coming out, and so they're doing promotion for Wicked, the movie. And part of that promotion, because it is a movie that is geared towards girls, effectively, towards people who are into musicals and also girls, because there's a lot of pink involved and a lot of accepting themes and so on and so forth, and Idina Menzel was the original Elphaba, but whatever. So, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the promotion for the movie. Promotion for the movie involves Barbie dolls from Mattel. Mattel, on the packaging of said Barbie dolls, printed a website, and it was the wrong website. They were trying to print wickedthemovie.com, but what they printed was wicked.com, and that is a very spicy adult-themed website. That is an adult movie distributor, if I remember correctly, and so some kids got a very interesting education over the course of the last week or so. At this point, all of the misprinted boxes are all of them that were still on shelves, at least, because some of them were bought, but all of the misprinted boxes that had not been sold have all been pulled from all distributors, Best Buy, Walmart, Target, etc., etc., and are now being restocked with properly printed labels. So the collector's market just went through the roof on the first boxes, I'm sure. But also, parents are being guided to destroy and discard the boxing for if they purchased the Wicked Barbies, then you get rid of the packaging so your kids don't have any interesting questions for you later.
Subscribe. That is all.
Maybe. That's classified.
And then the rumor mill is rounding us out for the episode. We have a big movie rumor confirmation to get out of the way. Thunderbolts might not be the Thunderbolts after all. Again, if you're believing the rumor mill. And we have more Deadpool and Wolverine in the MCU than I think we know what to handle, assuming, of course, you want to believe the rumors. We've got that and quite a bit more this week in the rumor mill, so let's go. Confirmations, refutations. We've got one of each this week for rumors. First up, we're going to refute a rumor that I literally, as I'm doing the research for the episode, saw the rumor come to be and then get shot down inside of 6 hours. So the rumor was that there is going to be another Batman spin-off series from the Matt Reeves universe of Batman. That series was going to be based on Barry Keoghan's Joker, which I think everyone would totally be on board for. The rumor was that it was going to take place between the next Batman movie and the presumable third Batman movie that we're very likely going to be getting. Then James Gunn, as soon as this hit even slightly sizable rumor mongers, James Gunn comes out, is on his Threads account and shoots down rumors that this is going to be happening. He said that this is not being even discussed at this point. Does that mean it's not going to happen? No, that just means right now there's no plans for it. Honestly, I would not be surprised if we get another spinoff. Probably slightly more likely we'll get like a Catwoman spinoff series or something along those lines. But I think Matt Reeves is too smart to do Joker, because Joker is incredibly hard to do if he's the focus of your series. Just the backstory gets too sticky, because everyone wants to give him a backstory, and Joker only works if he doesn't have a backstory. So while I think Matt Reeves would be up to the task, it would be a very difficult task for sure. So yeah, James Gunn says, absolutely not, that's not happening. Then let's move into our one confirmation this week, and that is the Game of Thrones movie is in fact happening. What Warner Brothers, HBO, Max, whatever, have come out and said, yes, this is actually in the early stages of production. That's really all they've said. They've acknowledged the fact that it exists, and we are waiting for more news. So this has moved from rumor to news. So there you go. Now let's get into new rumors. We don't have new sources for old rumors. We just got the new rumors. New rumor number one, Thunderbolts might not be Thunderbolts after all. So there is a rumor, the infamous asterisk has come back to bite us in the ass, it would seem. If you remember when they originally announced the release date for Thunderbolts, there was an asterisk on there. And now the rumor mill is of all a buzz with what exactly that asterisk means. And I think the biggest one of all of the theories is that it's not actually going to be a Thunderbolts movie. It is secretly going to be a Dark Avengers movie, and they're going to change the name at some point. It doesn't go into specificity. The source on this one is honestly bad. Just not good. So we're not going very high, but like I think a Dark Avengers movie will happen? Very possibly. I think we're a number of years out from that, but I think in order for Marvel to really get over their issues with killing off the villains at the end of every movie, I almost said episode, which would be appropriate, I think that the Dark Avengers would be a good way to go. And also once we finally get the symbiotes into the MCU proper, I think that will be something that needs to be established before you can do a Dark Avengers well. So, like, there's a number of obstacles in the way for a Dark Avengers movie. For them to just tack that title onto Thunderbolts, which has already been established for a little while at this point, seems incredibly unlikely. We're going to say 20% likely, as a matter of fact, that we will be seeing Dark Avengers instead of Thunderbolts. Again, Dark Avengers down the road, I think, is a great idea. Right now, bad idea. Next up is a real quick one. And this one, I think I even got a little bit too high on the likelihood because I think it would be fun. But Deadpool and Wolverine 2 is the rumor. Apparently, there is talks already to do a sequel to the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. Again, not a great source for this one. Honestly, this is one of the newest sources I've got that I have not been able to honestly figure out where he's getting his information from or anything like that. So we are going 40% on this one, not just because I think it would be a good time in the movie theater, but also Marvel and Disney as a whole see dollar signs and go, all right, so how can we repeat that? What can we do that's going to capitalize and get us more of the dollars? And with as big as Deadpool and Wolverine was, and is still, like, it makes sense to a certain degree that they would be considering doing some sort of sequel to it. I think that if a sequel happens, right now is not the time that they're talking about it. Right now is the time that they're talking about how they're going to incorporate all of this other material that they need to get into the MCU in the near future. So, again, 40%. Next up, we have two kind of related but also different Star Wars rumors. And really, the first one, there's so many different versions of it. I almost had three Star Wars rumors here, but let's go with this. So the first rumor is that there is a new trilogy proper in the works. Then that's kind of where some of this gets a little fuzzy, because there's a number of movies being rumored to be in early stages of production, so like scripting and such. But then also there have been a number of movies that have been kind of sort of confirmed that we haven't heard about for some time. So is this tying into any of those? It doesn't seem likely. The most likely path for this rumor, the ones that kind of are holding the most water at this point, is one of two ways. Either this new trilogy is going to be a proper continuation of the Skywalker saga, which we've already heard that that's not really the case, or the fact that it's being called episodes 10, 11, and 12 is going to tie into our next rumor. It is, though, being rumored that Simon Kinberg is the one who's going to be spearheading this. I believe he's been in the rumor mill for some time as working on a single movie. So he will be working on a trilogy, I think, is the best, most broadest of strokes to be taking away from this rumor. Also related to the fact that there are so many movies reportedly being in the works for Star Wars, it is being rumored that to a large degree, each of the movie productions is aware of the other movies. So we're not going to have these compartmentalized corners of the universe for Star Wars moving forward. All of the movies are going to somehow interconnect, seems to be the implication. Because of the super vagueness of the just the fact that everything is so watered down because there's such a plethora of rumor in this area, it's really hard to parse out anything beyond trilogy being worked on by Simon Kinberg. So that is the basis for this percentage likelihood. Also, the rest of it is really playing against it to a certain degree. So we're going to say 50% likely. Are they working on new Star Wars movies? Yes. Is Simon Kinberg one of the directors associated with at least one of those movies? Probably. I'm pretty sure that's almost been even confirmed. Like the trades are talking about it at this point. Is Simon Kinberg working on a trilogy? Maybe. Is that trilogy a proper saga addition trilogy? That's where things really start to break down really, really hard. So, because if it's a proper episode 10, 11, and 12, then you would think that it would be Skywalker. But if it's just a new trilogy that's starting a new story arc, why would you give it 10, 11, and 12? That doesn't make any sense. Whatever. And then the other rumor here is, again, ties into the other ones because this could be any one of those other movies, but Rey, the Daisy Ridley's character Rey, is said to be in multiple of these other movies that are being worked on. Not the least of which being her new Jedi Order movie that has been rumored for some time at this point. So we have multiple movies featuring the character of Rey, one of which it very likely will be far into the future. Will that be the trilogy that Kimberg's supposedly working on? I don't know. But will Rey be seeing multiple movies? I think there is really a lot on both sides here. Will she just get the one movie? That seems fairly likely at this point. Will she be returning for multiple movies? Whoa, it depends on where you're getting your information from. So we're going to say 50% on this one as well. We're 50-50 in both of these Star Wars rumors, just because there's such a breadth of rumors here that it's hard to parse out what could be real and what could be false. Next up, we have Superman. We have James Gunn, his new Superman. Supposedly, there has been a sighting of Bizarro on the set for James Gunn's new Superman movie. There's supposedly images. There's picture proof of this, that there is a backwards ass purple suit somewhere on set. I have been unable to find said pictures, so it's really hard for me to say that this is anything, especially when it comes from one of the less than stellar rumor mongers. So we're gonna say about 30% likely that we're gonna be seeing Bizarro in the new Superman movie, because like there's so much more lore that needs to be knocked out of the way before you get into Bizarro and the Bizarro universe and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, 30% likely. Next up is Sonic the Hedgehog related rumor. This one is Shadow is supposedly getting his own live action feature film from Paramount, and Paramount, I'm pretty sure, puts those out. The Keanu sans continues, it would seem. This one seems likely. They have said in no uncertain terms that they want to expand on this universe as much as they can. So the fact that Knuckles has a series, Sonic has now, what, three movies? The third one is still in the works, and they want more. Shadow is a viable option. Keanu Reeves doing the voice. Yeah, let's roll with that one. 75% likely. This one, if as soon as it hits the trades, I'll give it a little bit more of a likelihood, but until it's there, we can't go super high. I mean, that's fairly high even as it is. Next up, we have a gaming rumor. And this is an interesting gaming rumor. It's not getting as good of a likelihood as usual. So the rumor itself has to do with Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, a Wind Waker HD remaster to be specific. The remake is heading to the Switch, according to the rumor. And this one has been supposedly leaked from a Russian retailer. There is an image that exists where it was listed on their website with a release date, I believe. So that would seem to be an indicator, but, you know, typos happen, people mishear information, copy paste is a thing, like they accidentally copy paste the wrong bit. Like there's so many other things that it could be aside from an accidental leak of the release date for this, that's why we're not going. The other reason why we're not going as high as we probably could, considering the nature of the leak, is this has been rumored for basically the entire life cycle of the Nintendo Switch. So at this point, it's kind of a situation of the boy who cried wolf. Like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. So that all being said, we're gonna give this, it's still fairly high. We're gonna give this a 70% likelihood that there will be a Legend of Zelda Wind Waker remaster on the Switch. Presumably it will be the Wii U version of the game just getting updated to the Switch hardware. So yeah. Next and final for our rumors this week is Idle Hands. We have Sony being rumored to be remaking the horror comedy Devon Sawa, Seth Green movie from Jessica Alba, I believe was also in it, from the mid-90s, late-90s, something. Yeah, Idle Hands being remade. There is something to be said that the movie did moderately well. Sony's looking for a W, an easy W at that. Horror seems to be trendy at this point. So there's kind of meta reasons why this would be a thing, but there's really not enough specific reason for it. So we can't even go 50% with this one. We're gonna say 40% likely that Sony is working on a remake of the Idle Hands movie. And that is what we have for the rumor mill this week, nerds. Which puts us into the final section, which is housekeeping. As I have said a number of times for this episode, this is the final regular episode of the season For those of you watching the YouTube channel, that is season 5. For those of you on other platforms, it is a different season number because I've only been on those other platforms for less amount of time. I think the other longest running one is the audio platform, the Legion, the Nerdy Legion. And for that, I'm pretty sure it's season 3 that this is coming to an end. So that means a couple of really interesting things are going to be happening over the course of the next few weeks as far as the channel are concerned. First up, until the end of the month, until after Thanksgiving at the very least, until after Thanksgiving, there will not be a news episode at all. So that's about 2 weeks of just no news episodes. It's not to say there's not going to be any content on either of the channels. We will be doing at least some reaction videos because those are pretty easy to do as far as just keeping content flowing and still contributing to the conversation. So probably a couple of reaction videos over the course of the next couple weeks, maybe some more specific and small things for the second channel, but nothing that's really going to take too much time and energy to throw together just because this is kind of my decompression couple of weeks. So there's that. Then, once those 2 weeks are up, first week of December, probably, maybe the very, very end of November, we will be coming back with news episodes, but the platform changes, or the structure changes. We go from a pre-recorded show that runs about an hour to an hour and a half, and then we're going to do a live show that usually runs about 2 hours, depending on how much gaming I want to do. The structure for the live shows is fairly free and loose. Lots of contributions from the audience, so if you want to, you know, just swing by and say hey, that would be awesome. Or if you have something that maybe you've been itching for me to cover and I haven't gotten to that point, you want to have a conversation about it, then that is the best place to do it, is on the live shows. But the live shows will be every Tuesday evening, which means for those of you on the audio portions, you will be getting your episodes Wednesdays, which you should be getting your episodes on Wednesdays anyway. I've just been really, really bad the last few weeks as far as like getting my deadlines met. Number of reasons, number of factors have been part of that, not the least of which is the time of year. Like that is, this is one of the reasons why we do the season end stuff when we do, is because this time of year just gets really busy for me. So yeah, live shows will be happening. They'll be happening Tuesday evenings, and specific times you're gonna have to stick to the Twitter and the community page for either channel. I'm toying with the idea of doing a multi-stream, maybe YouTube and Rumble, YouTube and X, probably not YouTube and Twitch, just because Twitch is not really going to be the place for this kind of content. But after the hour of news, if you want to stick around, we do gaming stuff, and I'm going to do more than Mortal Kombat, I promise. I don't know how much more, but something more than just Mortal Kombat. So very likely we'll be playing some Halo, we'll very likely be playing some Fallout 76, and I really want to get my hands on a couple of other games that until I have them, I'm not going to announce them, but yeah, there will be more than just Mortal Kombat. It will be largely Mortal Kombat, but not just Mortal Kombat. So that is what we've got for the live shows. And it's just going to be, it's going to be a fun winter season, I think, nerds. And then once we're done with the live shows, the purpose of the live shows is they're easier for me behind the scenes. I don't have to do as much editing, nearly at all. I also don't have to do as much prep, which leaves a lot of room behind the scenes for me to gear up for the next season, create new themes, new assets, get new tunes together for all of the other, you know, the intros and all that stuff. And also try and streamline my workflow a little bit so that everything's a little bit more productive. So that next season I can do even more content and more content, because as the channel grows, I would like for the content to continue to grow with it. So all of that being said, January, usually middle to the end of January, is when we come back with the regular season. So that is what we've got going for the next few months. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. We will see you properly again in about 2 weeks, and very intermittently in the meantime, and doing other things that aren't the news. So thank you very much, nerds, for sticking around. If you are stayed all the way to the end, then I super duper love your face, and we will see you in a few weeks. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.